Thank you, Pastor J. Don George. What a great man of God. I said in the first service that he does not know it, but behind his back, I call him Mr. Integrity, because he is a man of integrity. Go ahead and give God praise for the gift. Over all these years, we have learned to follow his example and look at him as a stable man, man with vision, with a mission, with a compassion, and a direction. And we love him, absolutely. This morning to stand here and preach in his pulpit is a tremendous honor, because Pastor J. Don George is known across the world as a silver-tongued preacher. He can get you shouting in just one single minute. He just has a way of just getting to you. God has anointed him with the gift of preaching. And we love him. We highly respect him. He is truly a great, great man of God. And of course, when I look at his wife, I sometimes have to catch myself to not call her queen. She looks like royalty. When you look at Gwen, you almost want to say Queen Gwen. You know? She just has that about herself. You know, there are some people that just look dignified, and other people have to tell you they're dignified and they're not. But when you look at her, you just see royalty, and it's such a delight to be with them. A great honor to be here in Calvary this morning to give God the glory and the praise and the honor, because we know that he is a good God. I said he's a good God. Yes. He is a great God. And we have come to worship him. So great to see Senior over there. Great. We've been doing some things together. Great to see that he's still blazing the trail for the glory of God. Bless the Lord. And Jerry and Lucretia. And if I keep looking, I'm going to find more people that I know, so I better stop looking. I just want to say it's great to be here, and we have come to magnify the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We have come to exalt him, because he has a name that's above every other name. And we can proclaim today that our God is a good God. He's a great God. He's a mighty God. He's an awesome God. He is the only God. He is the God that's always been there. There is no God like our God. He is a loving God. He has been, is, and always will be. There is no other God than our God. There is no substitute for our God, because he is the Almighty God. And we honor today the fact that we know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. We honor him to know that he is the Son of the living God. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Lily of the Valley. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the Bright and the Morning Star. He's our Savior. He's our Healer. He's our Baptizer. He's our soon coming King. It's in him that we live and move and have our being. And we are more than conquerors because of him that has brought us out of the darkness into light. And we can shout and celebrate because Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Give him praise and glory this morning. Amen. We don't have much time. I know that some of you like to beat the Baptist at the buffet, so let me try and hurry and get out of here as soon as we can. All the Methodists, all the Presbyterians, whoever. But we are here to give God the glory and the praise and the honor, and I want to take a few minutes to talk to you this morning on this overall subject, the true meaning of Pentecost. The true meaning of Pentecost. And I'm going to give you the scripture reference, and you can turn there if you want to, but I know that most all of you already know it all by heart. But just in case you don't, you can turn there. It's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You can turn there, but I'm going to quote it for you or to you in the meantime. Acts 1, verse 8, it says, "And ye shall receive tongues after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." All right, let me repeat it one more time. "Ye shall receive tongues after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Well, this church is alive and wake. I can tell you've got a good preacher teacher in this place. Let me try it one more time. Let me try it in this section over here when I say that Acts 1 verse 8 says, "And ye shall receive tongues after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." I can't hear you. Oh, you sound pretty good. Let me say over here, "Ye shall receive..." No, I'm going to try this section. They better to preach to. Or, "Ye shall receive..." Let me try you again. "Ye shall receive..." How about all across the risers? "Ye shall receive..." This section right here in the middle. "Ye shall receive..." How about here? How about everybody? "Ye shall receive..." "Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And yet it seems as though we are emphasizing tongues more than we're emphasizing power. It seems as though we are running more after the tongues than we are after the power. Now, please, just in case some of you may think, where did Pastor George get a hold of this guy? He's going to preach heresy. So just in case you may think that, let me put your mind at ease and say to you, I do believe that the initial physical evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. I believe in speaking in tongues. I pray in tongues. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues. But ladies and gentlemen, the truth is that we should not be seeking after the tongues. We should be seeking after the power. I said we need to seek after the power. It's not the tongues. Now, listen to me. The tongues is the evidence. Listen to me. Tongues is the evidence that you have received power. In other words, if you speak in tongues, I have the right to expect power in your life. If you speak in tongues, I have the right to expect you to believe and move in miracles, signs, and wonders. If you speak in tongues, I have the right to expect of you to exercise the authority that Jesus Christ had given you. If you speak in tongues, I have the right to apply Mark 16:15 to you, and these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They will cast out demons, and they will speak in other tongues. It's all rolled into the package of the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm here to tell you today that the reason why you are filled with the Holy Spirit is so that you can be a channel for the power of God. I said that you are a channel for the power of God. You are His hands, His feet, His eyes, His everything. You are His extension into this world. But Jesus said that before He went, He said, I will pray the Father and He will send you another comforter. He said that because He was going away. But He also said that, and when I go, I will plead with the Father that He will send you the Paraclete, that He will send you the one that will be beside you all the time. And then He also said, and the same works that I do, you will do also, because I go to my Father. He knew that going to the Father would make it possible for you and me to receive the supernatural power of God. Now, Jesus said, you will do the same works that I did, and even greater than these will you do. Now, when He said greater, this is just my opinion, we're not going there right now, but when He said greater, I don't think that He really meant that in terms of quality. I think it was more in terms of quantity. But let that be as it may, because you see, we still have to try and get to what Jesus did. How many of you in this room have raised the dead? Now, don't talk about the greater things until you've raised the dead. But I do believe that when He said that greater things, He meant qualitative, that we will be able to do great things around this earth. That's why He gave us the power of the Holy Spirit to do the greater works. Now, Jesus said, I will pray the Father and He will send you another comforter. And that word another could mean different, or it could mean the self same. When you go back to the original, that word another means the very self saying. That means that Jesus said, I will plead, I will beg of the Father that He would send you another comforter. He meant the same power that He had, we will have. And that's why Paul writes and he says, if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. I've got good news for you today, believer. It's not a different spirit. It's not a miniature little Holy Ghost. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. I said, it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead that lives in you so that you can do the impossible in the name of Jesus. Leonard Ravenhill said it like this. He said, the Holy Spirit is the unction that gives me the gumption to function. Hallelujah. I said, the Holy Ghost, this is Leonard Ravenhill. He says, the Holy Spirit is the unction that gives me the gumption to function. It's not my power. It's not your power. It's not this church's power. It's God's power. It's not a duplicate. It's the same power. I said, it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead that's alive on your inside. And therefore, I want to say, you have the ability to give command to the mountain and it will move. You have the ability to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You have the ability to cast out demons and they will have to flee, because you have the power of God on your inside. But what is the true meaning of Pentecost? Have we watered it down just to speaking in tongues? Were we baptized in the Holy Spirit just to have another thrill? Another make me feel good experience? Another goosebump? Were we filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can say we're Pentecostal? That the only reason? Were we filled with the Holy Spirit so that we just can qualify for some kind of a position in the church? Superintendent of the Sunday school, or elder, or deacon, or whatever? Were we filled with the Holy Spirit because it was a great thing to do? I'm afraid that sometimes we have watered it down to, oh, if I could just have another feeling, man. Hallelujah, if I can just feel it again. It's okay, feel whatever you want to feel. Do whatever you have to do. I mean, get excited if you need to. Dance as good as you want to. Shout as loud as you want to. Jump as high as you want to. But make sure that you walk straight when you come down. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not what it's all about. It's not about another make me feel good experience. Yeah, thank God when I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. I mean, when it just flowed like a river on my inside, flowing out from to the outside, there was joy unspeakable. I was happy. I rejoiced. But I soon realized that it didn't stop with a make me feel good. It was not just a great emotional experience. It was the infilling of the supernatural divine power of God to do something. Can I tell you today that the purpose of the Holy Spirit, according to Acts 1 verse 8, that says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. We have received the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can minister. The first reason I believe, and if I had to go down a list over here, I would say that the first reason why we've received the power of the Holy Spirit is number one, to have the ability to worship God. Everything is to worship God. That is our highest priority. There is nothing more important than our worship to God. And the Holy Spirit gives us that ability. And that's why when I do not know how to pray or what to pray, then the Holy Spirit intercedes for me. I thank God for that. Ladies and gentlemen, please listen to me just for a minute. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to help me when I don't know how to pray or what to pray. I don't know about you, but I have found myself in situations in my life and circumstances where I knew that I had to pray, but I didn't know how to pray. My words fell short and everything seemed so hollow. And I knew that I had to pray, but I did not know, should I pray yes or no, come or go? up or down. I didn't know. But then I would begin to pray, and I will allow the Holy Spirit to take all of these mixed feelings on my inside and begin to work them out. And you know when that scripture says, and when I don't know how to pray or what to pray, can I just simplify it and say to you, this is what the Holy Spirit does. He takes every groan, he takes every moan, he takes every sigh, he takes every word, every thought, and he begins to put it all together, and he captures it all, and he puts it in line, and he presents it to the Father, and he says, Father, that is really what he's trying to tell you. Oh, hallelujah. I believe that that is one of the greatest roles of the Holy Spirit. But I've got to tell you, within the context of what we're reading over here, when it says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you will be my witnesses. Listen to me. Listen to me really, really quickly, ladies and gentlemen. We were not filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can receive gifts to simply bless each other. I think I need to say that again. We were not filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can receive gifts to bless each other. Thank God for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for a word of wisdom and knowledge. Thank God for discernment. Thank God for tongues and interpretation. Thank God for prophecy. Thank God for all of the wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit that go beyond even the 9 manifestation gifts. Thank God for all of those gifts. But please listen to me. We did not receive the Holy Spirit so that we could have gifts just simply to bless each other. We received the power of the Holy Spirit so that we will take the gospel to the nations. We were filled with the Holy. Yeah, go ahead and give the Lord a good hand of praise. Well, you're kind of disappointing me now, because I heard in Texas they do everything bigger and better. But your applause to Jesus didn't sound Texan. It sounded pretty weak. Now, wait. Well, that was typical. You didn't even wait me to finish my sentence and you were able to do it. So I'm going to tell you what we're going to do right now. I'm going to count to three, and you give the Lord praise as like only the Texans can, and the Nigerians, and the Malawians, and the South Africans, and everybody. All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3.
That was a pretty good show for Texans. Now I'm going to ask the Christians to give the Lord a hand of praise. All right, at the count of three, all the Christians, 1, 2, 3. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. those of you that are standing, or even if you're sitting, just give somebody a high five and say, you've come to the right place today. Now, as you take your seat, I'm going to try and wrap this up real quickly. When I say, can I just have a little bit more monitor quickly, please? I want to wrap this up real quickly. When I say to you today, you have the power and the ability of God to move mountains. You have the power and the ability to cast out demons. You have the ability to soar through the heavenlies and get into the throne room of God. You have the ability to be more than a conqueror. I said you have the ability to be more than a conqueror in the name of Jesus. And I need to tell you today, you are not going under, you are going over, because you are a child of the living God. Now, I want to say this to you real quickly. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Verse 5 says, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. I want to try and wrap this up when I say to you, when the church was born on the day of Pentecost, it was born as an international church. If you continue to read in the next few verses, you will see all the people that were gathered together by the sound of Pentecost, which meant that they went from there and spread the gospel all over the world. And when the people that originally received the power of the Holy Spirit tried to keep it to themselves, the Lord sent persecution to them, and because of that persecution, they had to go around, and wherever they went, they spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my prayer is that it's not going to have to take persecution for us to get the gospel out of Calvary Church into the world, but that it will be through the dynamics of the Holy Spirit that makes us go and say, we want to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love to say it this way, that I was born in the fire and I cannot live in the smoke. I want to say that again. I was born in the fire and I cannot live in the smoke. We need a demonstration of the power of God like we have never seen it before. And for some reason, I just briefly touched on it in the first service, but for some reason, I sense in my spirit an excitement about Calvary Church. I sense that God is getting ready to take you to the next level. I almost wanted to say again, but that will sound like it's just going to be another time. But I'm telling you this morning that God is getting ready to do something in Calvary Church right here like you have never experienced in your life before. Oh, come on, where are the Christians now? Let's give God praise in this house.
I sense in the spirit that you are going to experience miracles, signs, and wonders. You're going to see blind eyes open. You are going to see how deaf people are going to begin to hear, how the dumb are going to speak. You're going to see cripples walk in this church, not through some visiting evangelist, but by the power of God that's in this house. You are going to see people come and be saved from all over. And I've got to tell some of you, your unsaved loved ones are already on their way back to Jesus. You have to get ready for a mighty move of God here at Calvary. He has positioned you for a time such as this, and he's going to pour out his power like many or probably most of you have never seen in your life. And if you're thinking, I'm just trying to say something that sounds good, I hope that I'll be back to tell you, remember what God said. Because it's going to be in the name of Jesus. This is a great time to be alive. This is a great hour to be alive, because the church of the living God is more powerful now than it's ever been. Can I tell you that on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people came to Christ that day, or at least the Bible says that 3,000 were baptized. Can I tell you, in Africa right now, they are getting saved at the rate of 3,000 per hour. 3,000 per hour. And it's increasing. I have a good friend in Nigeria. It seems like God is blessing the Nigerians. Sometimes I feel like I just want to fly to Nigeria, to Lagos, just run around there for a little while and catch what they have and come back. But we know it doesn't work that way. But I have a friend in Lagos, Nigeria. His name is William Kamui. William Kamui right now is building a church, get this, that will be able to seat 100,000 people. Right next to it, he's building a youth center that can seat 40,000. On the other side, he's building a women's center that can seat another 40,000, so that he will be able to accommodate 200,000 people under roof on one single campus. Right now, he's ministering all across Nigeria by satellite, because he cannot get all the people to come to church. As a matter of fact, he told his people, you can come to church only once per month, because he doesn't have enough room for the rest. And when William Kamui started and told these people, you can only come to church once per month, they told him, you are now going to kill the church. Instead of that, the church doubled within 1 year. I'm telling you, the power of God is moving in unprecedented ways. And I want to say to you today, what you have to get in your mind is the big picture. Not me, my wife, my son, my daughter, us four and no more. Where do I fit into this big picture? When God looks at this world, he sees his church, and the church is coming alive. And I want to say to you today, your neighborhood may say that they're not going to church, but Calvary Church, listen to me, there's a revival coming. It's coming to the United States of America. I said there's a revival coming to the United States of America. If you believe that, give the Lord a shout of praise. I came to a time in my life and my ministry and pastoring the Glad Tidings when I thought it is time for me to slow down and just to take it easy and relax. But I've come to find that it seems like God never gives you time to slow down and relax. And instead of retiring, we are in a time of refiring. And God has put a new vigor and a new enthusiasm on our inside. We have just come back a week ago. I came back from South Africa where we had a 10-day what we call Impact Crusade. But the Impact Crusade is just a part of the journey. It's not an event in itself. Because in October last year, we released 20 trained evangelists. You see, we're impacting right now a city called Soshanguve, which is an African city of 1.3 million. Now, I have to interrupt myself real quickly when I say to you, you have to understand where I'm coming from, because we have dual citizenships. I stood the other day with my South African passport, and I stood with my American passport. I wondered which one I should use for the appropriate country, and suddenly hit me, my goodness, I have a South African passport and I have an American passport that may make me the whitest African American you're ever going to find anywhere. But God has called us to touch a nation. We're impacting this city called Soshanguve, 1.3 million Africans. We released 20 trained evangelists in October last year. When I say trained, I don't mean trained, I mean trained, T-R-A-I-N, because these people commute to by train every day, by the thousands. And so our trained evangelists start at the beginning of the railroad track, get on the train, and then they begin to work from carriage to carriage, winning souls to Christ, until they get to the end of the track. When he gets to the end of the track, he gets off, gets on the return train, works his way back, and wins soul from carriage to carriage until he gets to the end. If there's time left, he gets onto the returning train and works his way all the way back just to get off and do the same all the way back. 20 of them every day of every week, winning souls to Christ. We have 20 school evangelists that are visiting every school in assemblies and telling them about Jesus Christ. We have 10 hospital evangelists going from hospital to hospital. We have 10 prison evangelists visiting every prison, winning people to Christ where normally we cannot reach them. We have 25 street evangelists impacting that city. They're on the streets, winning souls to Christ. Open air services on the corner of the streets, at the taxi ranks, everywhere. They are telling people about Jesus because we felt that the Holy Spirit said, impact one city at a time. Don't only have a crusade, but go in there and impact that city with a gospel of Jesus Christ. Now we had our crusade, and I don't have time to tell you too much about that other than to tell you that we thought that we were going to reach the community at large, and lo and behold, the students from the university started showing up by their thousands. I mean, literally by their thousands. They came from that university and filled that hall. And I was looking at them one day, and as I was looking at these thousands of young people sitting in front of me, suddenly the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, we have lost an entire generation. Let it be through political uprisings, let it be through AIDS, because 80% of AIDS victims live in Southern Africa. We have lost an entire generation. And when I looked at these thousands and thousands of young people that were sitting in front of me, the Holy Spirit said, I am now giving you an opportunity to reach the next generation. Don't miss this opportunity. And I'm glad that I can tell you today that during this recent crusade, I've just come back, we literally saw thousands and thousands and thousands of people receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now go ahead and give the Lord a good praise for that. We saw hundreds healed, people filled with the Holy Spirit. But I've got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, with this, I'm going to try and wrap this up. I've got to tell you that whenever I get ready to give an altar call for unsaved people, I've learned that before you make that call, you have to, first of all, bind the spirit of darkness, command them to loose them and let them go, and then you bring them in. And so I was standing in this crusade, and unbeknownst to me, I spoke this word of authority, something like, and now by the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I speak to every demon and I say to you, devil, you have to let these people go. And I say to you, loose them and let them go. And then a demon started screaming out. And then another demon started screaming out. And then another, and another, and another. And suddenly, there was commotion all over that place as demons suddenly realized that they had suddenly come under the power of a power that is stronger than the power of Satan. And when I commanded in the name of Jesus, loose them and let them go, he thought I talked to him about his possession, but I talked about the sinners, which they were. And so he just, he had to let go. And I've got to tell you, in their culture, they've got to get a hold of these. And those that come from Africa know what I'm talking about. The witch doctors, the son Gomas. If they run out of a presence like that and they get outside, they believe that the evil spirit increases. So they've got to capture them before they run out. So the altar workers and the ushers were running all over, getting a hold of them all over this place and bringing them forward. I mean, they were carrying them down on their shoulders. They were screaming. They were howling, foaming at the mouth, trying to rip their clothes off, laying them down in the front all over, all the way down the front. They were screaming. They were swirling like snakes. And some of them came up like scorpions, looked like they wanted to bite somebody. But I want to tell you, that is nothing. But what is something is when you take authority in the name of Jesus and you speak to every one of those demon spirits and you say, you have no right over here to try and even draw attention to yourself. Who do you think you are? In the name of Jesus, go! I want to tell you, I saw how those people would begin to shake and sit up straight, and they would pick them up, and then you would say to them, now say these words after me, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I say to you, devil, you have no authority over me. And 80 to 90% of them will say that, but at least 10% will say, and you know that they're not delivered yet. And you take the authority in the name of Jesus, because listen to me, child of God. He said, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means will hurt you. And then you see that same person that was so bound by all of these demons, how they are loosed, and how that face that is all twisted and torn begins to light up, and a smile comes on that face, and they open it up and they look at you and they say, now I renounce the devil, I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I am delivered, I'm set free in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody, let's give God praise in this house. But I've got to tell you, when I then pulled the net or drew the net for salvation, they came running down the aisles by their thousands, standing around the front crying out, I'm a sinner, I need a savior, I need to be set free. And I'm happy to tell you that the power of God had done a supernatural, miraculous work. Well, we've got a whole lot of this on video, and perhaps someday, Pastor George, we'll be able to let you get the DVD, and you'll be able to see what I'm telling you right on the overhead screens, how people have been delivered and set free and come to God, come to Christ by their thousands. And after that crusade, the very last day, this really moved me. Precious mother, probably early 80s, I would think. She came to me, was just crying. Just crying. She said these words to me. She said, sir, thank you for coming to Soshanguve. Because many, many years ago, somebody told me about Jesus. But they didn't tell me where I could find him. Yes. And for years, I've been trying to find him. But sir, I have found him. And now I know him. Now I can even lay my head to rest. Thank you for bringing Jesus to me. Young man, 20 years old, broad-shouldered, tall, 6'2", 6'3", fire in his eyes. My son introduced him to me. He said, Dad, this man is studying to become an engineer. He's finishing this here. His desire is to build big roads and clover leaves and bridges. Then the young man continued, he said, yes, sir, but after this crusade, my greatest desire now is to build a highway to heaven for young people to find Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's global outreach. We have our eyes on the harvest. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says the fields are white unto harvest, and we're focusing our attention on the harvest. But can I tell you something? There cannot be a harvest if there weren't seeds put into the ground. And seeds can only be put in the ground by a sower. We cannot ignore the sower. God help us as we look at the harvest. We're saying we've got to bring in the harvest. Let's also look back and say, God, help us to find sowers. 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 Amen.
Almighty God, we give praise to you for the word we have heard. And we thank you, O God, for the revival of your Holy Spirit that is surging around the world. Thank you for the tremendous work you are doing in South Africa. And now today, Father God, I ask that you will quicken to our spirits the need for seed sown in the soil of your faithfulness and your word, so that a mighty harvest will continue. The power of God will be made.